That's one.
Okay, we can start with items number 13 through 21. We are ready for an investigative report.
Thank you, Chair Mason. Commissioner Susan Myers, investigator. Items 13 through 21 are investigative reports for the 9 members of the Oregon State Board of Nursing. With the chair's permission, I'll address them together. I believe that 3 of those members may be present by telephone.
Yes.
The complaint in this matter alleged the board may have violated executive session provisions by failing to announce the statutory citation for an executive session and by voting or making a final decision in executive session, and it referenced 2 dates, September 9th, 2020 and November 18th, 2020. At its meeting in June, the commission moved these matters to investigation. The focus of the investigation was to determine whether the board voted or reached a final decision and whether they announced the statutory authority for holding the executive session each time the board entered one during its meetings. As to the first issue, I listened to the audio recordings of the 2 meetings, and the Board of Nursing has very long meetings, multi-day meetings. It was clear in listening to the audio recordings that all votes were taken in public session, and it did not appear the board reached any final decisions in executive session. As to the second issue, at its meetings, the board cited ORS 192660, but it failed to cite subsection 2L, which was the provision that would authorize these sessions. The executive session script read by the board chair, however, did include the language from some subsection 2L. As a result, the board appeared to substantially comply with ORS 192.6601, which is the provision saying how you have to announce before you go into exec session. They appear to have substantially complied when they first moved into executive session. The problem is that the board's process was to hold multiple executive sessions during its meeting day. The board would initially convene an executive session, conduct some of its business, hear its reports, etc., then exit that executive session to go back into public session to vote on a series of matters. It would then convene a new executive session, and the process would go on throughout the day. Unfortunately, the board did not announce any statutory authority or reread the executive session script each time it convened a new session. As a result, it appears the board may have violated ORS 192.6601. Based on information from Board Chair Kat Chin and Executive Director Ruby Jason, both of whom were very cooperative during our investigation, it appears the board has already taken multiple steps to improve their compliance. The meeting notices and the executive session scripts have been modified to cite to subsection 2L. Additionally, the board's process for holding executive sessions has changed. They now hold one long executive session and then come out and vote, and so they avoid the need to repeatedly announce the statutory authority. The reports that are in your meeting books recommend the commission make preliminary findings of 1 violation of ORS 192.6601.
Thank you for that report. And do we have a presentation from one of the folks on the phone, or were they just observing?
I believe that Board Chair Kat Chin, former board member Annette Cole, and board member Judith Woodruff are all present.
Yes,
so
they are.
Yes.
I don't know if they would like to speak.
Yes. Hello. This is Kat Chin, OSBN's board president. I would like to ask that your board members hear Judith Woodruff's phone's talking to me too. If we could have Judith Woodruff please present our case, in this in regards to this matter, that would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, thank you. Judith, if you are on the line, this is your opportunity to share with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. I just wanted to say, preface this by saying I am one of two public members to this appointed board. I am previously was an attorney, although I have relinquished my membership in the Oregon State Bar in the last couple of years due to the fact that I have not practiced for a number of years. Having said that, I reviewed the investigator's recommendations, and I just want to add a little bit of context with regards to the operations of the Oregon State Board of Nursing. We are a board that supervises more than 50,000 nurses and certified nursing assistants in this state, and we meet every month to discuss disciplinary actions and also to discuss administrative and rules and other issues relevant to the practice of nursing in this state. When this complaint came in, the board members were quite taken aback, particularly in the fact that the complaint did not name the OSBN, but did name individual board members. We're under the impression, I think, individually, that these issues would be resolved because the executive director of the OSBN and our chair, Kat Chin, would respond and present information. What we, without the board being the subject of the complaint, or at least named in the complaint, the Attorney General's office was precluded from representing individual board members or the board, and the AAG could not ask that the complaint be cured. And so I believe that the original form of the complaint is names only partially the people who may or may not be responsible for the activities. According to our standard definitions within the State Board of Nursing, the board refers to the 9 members of the governor-appointed public body. It does not describe individual board members, but the collective of 9 as the board. And the single board member can't act individually and take any activities. We have no power to act within the board except as a whole of 9. The second issue that I wanted to state was that the way that the board meetings have been previously processed has been both on the advice of counsel and longstanding practice, at least long before I became a board member 2 years ago. And I believe that no one on the board knew that we were in violation of the intricacies of the public meetings law. Upon appointment to the board, individual members receive training in the specific activities of the OSBN. We review the governing documents, including the bylaws. And the only reference to public meetings listed in the bylaws, Article 5, says that executive session shall be held in accordance with ORS 192.660. It's the expectation of every single board member that the meetings do follow the statute, and there's no expectation from the board members that we're responsible for ensuring that the executive sessions or public sessions are compliant with the statute. That is also, in general, the advice that we've received through the governor's office of boards and commissions, which provides a handbook and describes our general authority and responsibilities, but does not say that we have to be responsible for the public meetings law. Individual board members have had absolutely no control or involvement with the development of the procedures of the OSBN meetings, and I think that's evidenced by the fact that it was, in fact, agency personnel, in particular Ruby Jason, our executive director, who changed the procedure to be in compliance with the statute and the rules regarding open meetings. As a board, the agency executive presented the changes to procedure, and the board then voted to approve them. Additionally, you should know that our office, or our board, supervising a staff of more than 50 who are delegated with all the responsibilities
of management of this agency. They handle all meeting arrangements, preparation of minutes, processing of complaints, and the list goes on. Because we have so many licensees, we have to delegate to paid professional staff. After being alerted to the violation of the statute, the staff and the chair revised the procedure to ensure compliance. There was no intention on the part of the board as a whole, nor specifically the individual board members, including myself, to violate the ethical rules of the state regarding open meetings. I believe the violations were unintentional and have been corrected, and I believe that a finding of an ethical violation is not necessary at this time. We have made those changes. We are operating in compliance. And I will just note that the investigator mentioned that while we weren't specifically in compliance with what the statute said, we were substantially compliant in the sense that we did read those that script at the beginning of each day. We were not aware that we were supposed to do that every single time that we came in and out of the meeting. We also like to mention that I would like you to consider for yourself how much reliance you have on staff to handle procedures in your own commission. And in this case, we have thousands of licensees to manage, and we absolutely could not do that if we didn't have the staff responsible for all of the activities, including investigations, meetings, responses to licensees. And so a lot of what occurred in this particular situation occurred outside of our control. The complainant was working with an investigator, and the investigator initially, we didn't know anything about what was going on, because when it was brought to our attention in September, we were told that it was going to be pulled from the agenda because there was more information that needed to be in place. That's fairly common in our disciplinary meetings, and so we got no more about it. When it came back for review in November, we voted on it because that was presented to us by an investigator that the investigation was complete. I think there's also some extensive concerns that board members have about being held responsible individually for the actions of the agency, and that we were in no way intending for any kind of violation of the open meetings law. A finding of an ethical violation of individuals on this board could result in disciplinary action for board members who have active professional licenses. And I think it would be ironic that the Oregon State Board of Nursing could in fact have a complaint lodged about the members of the board for acting with conduct derogatory to the standards of nursing. And it would be then unethical for the current board members to hear those disciplinary actions and would have to recuse them themselves from participating, which would leave, I think, two board members who were not present at those meetings. I believe also that there is concern that a finding of an ethical violation might mean that the governor would also have to consider removing us as board members, which would mean that the majority of the board would be removed and the actions of the board cannot go forward. I understand that the investigator is recommending education as a penalty, but we're requesting to have the entire action dismissed. Because we are individual members who had no control over the agency actions, nor did we even we didn't put that process in place. We feel like it's important for us to be recognized by the fact that we are not the party that needs to be sanctioned here, but it is in fact the agency. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation, Ms. Woodruff. I see Executive Director Burson has his placard up.
I do. Thank you, Chair. So, I was going to make a comment after the commissioners had the discussion that, I felt like this group had been educated. They changed their procedures, and a dismissal would probably be just fine with me. However, along with that recommendation for myself is I really want to be clear with the members that are on the phone right now after listening to this last member talk. You are individually responsible for the public meeting laws. It is not the agency. It is you. And so in the spirit of education, my advice to you is to have the Attorney General's manual at your disposal. It's online. You can have it for free. And look at those responsibilities. It's not on the agency. I'm the executive director of this agency. However, if my commission does something wrong in executive session, it will be on each one of those individuals. So I just want to be really clear with that you do have control over the public meetings. You are the chair, or you are the board members. The agency, they may be giving you recommendations. They may be controlling it, but the responsibility is on you. Now, having said that, I think my recommendation to the commission is still the same, but like I said, I just want to be kind of strongly worded here that I don't want the members of the nursing board to leave this meeting and think that responsibility lies within the agency. I understand you rely on your professional paid folks to keep you kind of, within the law, but you also need to kind of have that law and that advice in your hands. And like I said, the Attorney General's manual is free online. You can download it right off Department of Justice's website. And if I was a board member, I'd make sure that I had a copy of that for myself. So the other thing is that I will tell these board members that are on the line that many boards and commissions come before us for public meeting law violations on executive session. This is not an ethics complaint. It is an executive session complaint on public meetings. And to this date, I have never heard of any board member being removed from a board or a commission because of any action in front of us. So I want to put that kind of to bed, that I've never seen the governor remove somebody for this. Like I said, this commission, is number one thing is education, and I think that has been handled here through the investigation. But I just wanted to add a little bit more in, like say, getting rid of that idea that is the agency's responsibility for the public meetings. It is not. It is the board members and the chair of that board. And that is why everybody is on this. We have an administrative rule. When we get a complaint on executive session, if they don't mention all the people in that executive session, all the people are before us that are at that meeting. So, like I said. And the other thing I would really encourage you to do, since you meet once a month, is I have an excellent training staff here. We can train you remotely. It won't take long, and we can give you a very good overview of public meetings and your responsibilities. And that is free. There's no cost to you whatsoever. Like I say, with meeting once a month, if you can find a small amount of time for my staff to show up before you remotely, I would encourage you to do that. That's all I had. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Director Burson. Obviously, that is another great example of the professional staff. That's also very fair in the way he explained that. And I'll move over to Commissioner Fiscom.
Mr. Chair, I have mixed emotions about how to proceed here in the spirit of our director's comments, which I very much appreciate. I was going to say, too, that knowing a number of past governors, as I've known in Oregon, having been around public policy for 40 years, I can't imagine a governor would fire somebody for this kind of, quote, violation, unquote. It is an executive session violation, not a, quote, ethics violation, and that distinction is very important, it strikes me. Secondly, this, for me, is an example, we've had them before, of where I would like to have the ability to order a letter of education now before moving to the next step. And I would want to applaud our staff for the commentary on page 167, just above the word recommendations, that summarizes the education which has occurred, summarizes the intent of the Oregon Board of Nursing to comply. Nobody's alleging there was an intent to defraud government by this action. But there is technically, our staff would say, a violation here. I wish we had the freedom to do a letter of education right now rather than moving to one more step and then proceeding to a letter. Mr. Chair, I will stop with that and see where this goes. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any other commissioners? I mean, I want to advocate for something, but I'm trying to give everybody an opportunity to share their thoughts. I mean, I think that the letter, you know, the education has taken place, and I don't think you could have ever had a better presentation for an education than what Director Burson just demonstrated. And you know, I would entertain a motion to dismiss this complaint.
Mr. Chair, in the spirit of your remarks, I will make that motion before us to dismiss the complaint on item number 21-050XSM involving Cheryl Oakes Caddy from the Oregon State Board of Nursing.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 14.
Mr. Chair, assuming we've had sufficient discussion, if not, I'll yield to you, but I would recommend, I would move that we accept the staff recommendation on item 21-051XSM and find a preliminary finding of one violation of ORS 192.660 sub 1 involving Michelle Chow from the Oregon State Board of Nursing.
Technically, we are dismissing these, Commissioner Fiskum, based on
pardon
our
me.
First...
pardon me. My language should have said that we dismiss. I apologize. Thank you.
Just to clarify, the motion is to move to dismiss the complaint on 21-051XSM in the case of Michelle Chow, too. And any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 15. I'm sorry. Item number 16. No, I'm sorry. Item number 15, Kathleen Chin.
Mr. Chair, I will move that we dismiss the complaint against Ms. Kathleen Chin, item 21-052XSM, Ms. Chin, a member of the Oregon State Board of Nursing. Motion to dismiss.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 16, Annette Cole.
Mr. Chair, I move that we dismiss the complaint against Ms. Annette Cole, item 21-053XSM, a board member of the Oregon State Board of Nursing.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Number 17, Adrian Inghouse.
Mr. Chair, I move that we dismiss the complaint against Ms. Adrian Inghouse, item number 21-054XSM. Ms. Inghouse, a member of the Oregon State Board of Nursing.
Any discussion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 18, Aaron Green.
Mr. Chair, I'll recommend that we dismiss the preliminary the complaint against Mr. Aaron Green from the Oregon State Board of Nursing, item number 21-055-XSM.
Any discussion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Number 19, Barbara Turnseed.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that we dismiss the complaint against Ms. Barbara Turpinseed from the Oregon State Board of Nursing, item number 21-056-SSM.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 20, Judith Woodruff.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that we dismiss the complaint against Ms. Judith Woodruff, a member of the Oregon State Board of Nursing, item 21-057-XSM.
Any discussion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
And the final one of this group, Michael Winter Lightfoot, item number 21.
Mr. Chair, I will move that we dismiss the complaint against Mr. Michael Winter Lightfoot, a member of the Oregon State Board of Nursing, item 21-058-XSM.
Any discussion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Looks like that, if I'm not mistaken, this would be the time to go into executive session for items number 37 through 42. Is that right, Monica? What do you have?
Third chair.
37 through 42.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, we may need to go back to item 11.
Sorry for the interruption. Sir Chair and members of the board, this is Kat Chin, OSBN board president. May I have permission to address the board?
We've just dismissed all of your cases.
Yes.
And so we, I think Ms. Woodruff. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I will reach out to our executive director and take the Ethics Commission's director up on education, particularly since we have a lot of new board members. So thank you for your time, and everybody have a good day.
Thank you for your participation. I appreciate that. And I know I'm sensitive to time today because of one of our commissioners needing to leave at a specific time. And so, feel free to put on the brakes, team, if I'm going a little too fast.
Mr. Chair, I would just remind you that I don't believe we have acted yet on items number 8, 9, and 11.
Yeah, we can come back.
We can come back to those at your discretion. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Commissioner Fiskum. I'm working off a list of attendees that are trying to participate. So we're trying to accommodate individuals. And so at this time, and assuming, Monica, that we do have the folks, before I take us into executive session, items number 37 through 44 are the next group. Oh, no, wait, number 35.
So we do not have them right now. I am currently texting them, so because I understood that we were going to go through the items under public session from our discussion. So I'm texting them now.
Okay. We can go back and address items number 8 in public session. I'm sorry, number, I guess we're back to number 7.
Yeah.
That's correct. The lobby correspondence.
That's
okay, so back to item number 7.